All right, first of all, there's nobody here present in Las Vegas. This matter concerns amendments to NRCP 16.1, 16.1 B1, 16.1 E1, and E2. This is the time and set for the public hearing, time and place set for the public hearing. Is there anyone in Carson City present who wants to make a comment?
There is not.
There is not. Okay, well then what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn this over. This was initiated by Chief Justice Hardesty and Justice Gibbons, and I'm going to let Justice Gibbons provide a little background and comments on the proposed amendment for this ADKT.
Great. Well, thank you, Chief, and again, I'll be very brief since there's nobody here. I can start out by saying that these proposed amendments to the rule and the additional commentary suggested have been vetted extensively. They were submitted to the Benchmark Committee chaired by Justices Hardesty and Douglas for review and comments, and as I recall, we had comments on them both in Las Vegas and in Reno at the time they were presented on that agenda. They've also been vetted through attorneys and discovery commissioners, Bullen in Clark County and Ayers in Washoe County, input, comments, any other issues regarding the necessity of this language. So after all that was done, then the Chief, at the time, Chief Justice Hardesty and myself filed this administrative docket petition in December. So basically, it's pretty straightforward. It should seem by Exhibit A to the petition. We're suggesting we have some additional drafters' language in the commentary on 16.1 to discuss non-retained experts, and specifically issues when you have treating physicians giving expert testimony. As ironically, we heard about this morning in one of our oral arguments, what types of disclosures have to be made and when they can be made, and this proposed commentary discusses that and clarifies an ambiguity in the rule and in the commentary at the present. The second issue would be as far as the early case conference, the time period when it runs to complete the conference. Right now, there was some internal inconsistencies in the rule regarding the time period, whether it should be running from the time of the initial appearance by a defendant or from or as we're suggesting, to do it from the filing of the answer of the first answering defendant. The reason for this is, and the problem that's created with commissioners and attorneys, is if you have cases involving jurisdiction or complex issues, there's an initial appearance by that defendant, and it may result in lengthy litigation, even discovery on issues like jurisdiction, and they may eventually wind up before the Supreme Court before it even gets out, even an answer is even filed. So the suggestion was to, in order to make it easier to follow and comply with the requirements and the time limits, would be to run the time limit from the first answer by the first answering defendant. So if there's multiple defendants, whenever the first one answers, then the clock starts and everybody understands the rule and knows what their time limits are to complete the case conference. So basically that's the background, that's where we're at. To my knowledge, we've received no opposition to this written commentary to the clerk, and as such, I would ask the court, if Justice Carter C. concurs as well, to entertain consideration of these amendments.
Okay, thank you, Justice Gibbons. Let's see. Justice Douglas just pointed something out to me here.
The answering brief.
Let's see.
In the first section about the...
It's on 16.1.
I think, Justice...
On the drafter's note?
Yeah, Justice Gibbons, we want to say reasonably...
Reasonably?
It's the first answering defendant. I am sorry.
Instead of sensibly.
16.1A.
Yeah. I see that.
Oh,
it's one of those I've read 100 times and missed that one, so I apologize for that. Be for me, from finally answering the first answering defendant, not first answering brief.
This is going down. This is on your Exhibit A under the supplemental drafter's note. And it looks like the second line to the bottom, where you're talking about 16.1A2B, and is seasonably made after the, is that to read reasonably? Or was it meant to say seasonably?
Here, let me show you.
It means you caused such a stir.
And is seasonably made after the amendment came.
Reasonably.
Okay. So the amendment to the amendment will be acknowledged. So, colleagues, do you have any further comment?
I do. I think we could take them up in caucus. The answering brief we got corrected, but I'm concerned that this, I understand what we're doing, but I'm not sure the wording of 16.1E is going to be trouble-free, because we're saying we're switching it from the first appearance of a defendant to the filing of the answer by the first answering defendant. Then we say the case may be dismissed as to that defendant or upon the court's own initiative, and then that language is repeated in subparagraph 2. Well, it may be that you have multiple answering defendants who should also have the case dismissed as to them, and when we, I'm worried about how this is going to work in practice with the wording, and I think we may need to wordsmith it a bit. I understand the policy that we're getting at, but I'm concerned about the wording.
I think that's correct. What we're trying to do is minimize the language changes to the existing rule,
yeah.
But you're right, it may create an issue here, so we'll have to take a closer look at that point.
Right.
Okay, any other comments, colleagues? Okay, there's still no one present here in Las Vegas. Is there anyone present in Carson City that would like to make a comment?
No, there is not.
Okay, with that, then we will conclude the public hearing on 80 KT 511, and this court will stand in recess until the next call.